the Gloria Lynn Room, the Frank Sinatra Room, the B.B. King Blues Room, the James Baldwin Library, just to name a few. Join me Friday nights from 7 until 10 p.m. as I take you on a musical journey you'll never forget. Robin's Place.
Come the day you're mine, I'm gonna teach you to fly.
I'm Kamaya.
I'm Amira.
I'm Kaya.
I'm Kamaya.
And you're listening to WPFW Washington.
Another man done gone. Another man done gone from the county farm. Another man done gone.
Huh? I don't know. What? I'm just going to walk the street.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, no.
What'd I do?
Okay,
turn around.
Put your hands behind your back. Let's go.
A jury of your peers having found you guilty. 10 years.
What? Come on.
I was in jail too, man. It's cold-blooded in the jail. You go down there looking for justice. That's what you find. Just us.
Welcome to another edition of Crossroads Today. Now here's your host, Roach Brown.
And good morning, and thank you for tuning in as usual to our Tuesday morning show. We've been coming to you for 16 years here every Tuesday on WPFW, your station for jazz and justice. WPFW is heard around the world. And we want to thank all the folks who've been listening, calling, emailing, texting from various parts of the world. Some countries are places I never even heard of before. But thank you, because we all got the same interest to eliminate this criminal justice injustice on our folk, black and brown people. So folks all around the world are going through what we're experiencing in various aspects or another. So thank you for tuning in, and thank you for your messages, and thank you for your support. Mertine and I really appreciate everybody's participation. Last week, we did a show with Andrea James on the Free Her National Rally. This has been declared National Second Chance Month by President Biden. So we've been highlighting all of the issues pertaining to women, because women are on the forefront and they have been ignored, disregarded, disrespected, mistreated, and ignored. And we wanted to make sure that we bring the issues of women, our mothers, sisters, grandmothers, and wives to the forefront. But before we start, we open up what we call the grapevine, information that you can use. And during the grapevine, we came up with another segment, Andrea. The segment is called Jiggy Boogie. Jiggy Boogie. The D.C. mayor's bill targets the district's deputy mayor for public safety and justice says she was okay if the new crime bill submitted by the mayor meant more youths will be locked behind bars. This is a black woman. And young lady, I am upset, angry, hurt for you to say this, because in Washington, D.C., black youths are locked up at 3 or 4 times the rate of white youths. We get locked up longer. We stay locked up in prison longer. You get convicted and you get sentenced all across the country. I got guys now went in at 17, 18 years old. They're in their 60s and 70s. So D.C. youth spend an inordinate amount of time. And for a black woman, the deputy mayor, to make this statement that she's okay if they lock up more kids. How can a black woman say that? Her name is Lindsay Appiah. She's the deputy mayor for public safety. And young lady, I don't know who you are or where you come from, but we ain't talking about just locking up our kids. We can lock up the kids. If you take something from them, give them something. Nobody's putting nothing into place but just punishment, repercussions, locking these kids up. And we need to make sure that our kids get a fair shake. So Miss Lindsay Appiah, we give you the Jiggy Boogie Award of the Week. Jiggy Boogie. That's what it is, lady. We need to cut that crap out. Now we get to what we call the grapevine. I'm upset this morning. Hey, there are approximately 976,000 women under the supervision of the criminal justice system. Black girls account for 32% of all girls in juvenile facilities, despite making up just 14% of girls under 18 nationwide. Between 1980 in 2021, the number of incarcerated women increased by more than 525%, rising from a total of 26,326 in 1980 to 168,000 in 2021. There are approximately one of every 39 black women in prison is serving life without parole. I'm going to repeat. One in every 39 black women in prison is serving life without parole. More than 80% of all arrests are for low-level, nonviolent offenses and conduct related to poverty. Many people who can't pay court fines and fees or bail for minor violations face license suspensions and jail time, essentially criminalizing somebody for being broke. Police killed at least 1,247 people in 2023. I'm going to repeat. Police killed at least 1,247 people in 2023. Black people were 27% of those killed by police in 2023, despite being only 13% of the population. And that's been what we call the grapevine, information that you can use. And good morning, good morning, good morning. We are coming to you again from the 10th anniversary of the Free Her March and Rally. Federal and state clemency now. End the incarceration of women, girls, and shift resources into community. And our guest was on with us last week. She's in town from Boston, Massachusetts, ex-attorney. This lady has been leading the challenge on the forefront for bringing all the issues pertaining to women in incarceration and upon their release to the forefront. And I take my hat off to you, Andrea James. You was on last week. You've been on this week. We are making sure that we push and promote this issue about Free Her Rally, because we got mothers, grandmothers, wives, and sisters in prison. And you're the first lady I've known in the 50 years I've been doing this, Andrea, who said, give all our women a pardon. Let them all out. Let all our mothers, grandmothers, daughters, sisters out of prison. Y'all know this jiggy boogie ain't right. You know, so we got to cut the jiggy boogie out. Good morning, Andrea James, the director and founder of the National Council for Incarcerated and Formerly Incarcerated Women and Girls. And good morning, Andrea.
Good morning, sir. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, Mr.
And thank
Brenno.
You. We introduced Kiana Johnson, founder of Life After Release. And of course, joining us is none other than the dynamic Nkechi Taifa. Good morning to everybody for joining us here on Crossroads. Okay.
And I think we also have LaShawna Thompson.
Yeah, LaShawna
from The Wire. And yeah. You're in good hands, Mr. Brown. Merry Christmas, sir. But you're in good hands with Kiana and LaShawna as our local DC sisters who have been in the lead of moving their work and the work to end incarceration of women and girls for years here in the DC, the DMV area. But we want to just say thank you before I turn it over to Rita and to Kiana and to LaShawna. Yeah. I want to just say thank you for uplifting. 10 years ago, we marched on Washington. 10 years ago, we met President Obama and we worked with President Obama, Valerie Jarrett. We were able to push 50 women out working in collaboration with Amy Pova at Can Do Clemency, women who would still be inside, including our director of clemency, Danielle Metz, who was serving a triple life sentence plus 20 years for a drug conspiracy case. Outrageous. We still have women who are buried inside, Michelle West, Lazardaz, Connie Edwards, Miss Friend, all of these elders who have done decades in the federal prison system. We have 18 women alone that we're lifting the names up that are from D.C.
D.C., they're serving life.
Serving life sentences. So we're coming back. It's our 10th anniversary from the first rally, and we're coming strong this time. We're
there
not
you
200
go.
Women
there you
this
go.
Time. We're thousands of women, and we are marching on Washington tomorrow, leaving from the Metropolitan AME Church, 11 a.m. sharp, and we are rallying at Freedom Plaza from 12 to 4. So I encourage everybody to come out, and I'd like to now, I'm on the road and moving. I'm going to turn this over to
You always moving.
We got to move. We got to keep it moving and put this pressure on. Put it on Biden. Let him know.
Let me say this, that traditionally, women, when they go to get arrested or incarcerated, when they come out, they don't want to say anything or let everybody know, because they've been overly stigmatized and they'd be doubly punished for coming out. And It makes a man feel inferior or inadequate. He can't take care of your family and support them while you're in the street. Then they take your woman and lock her up. You can't support or sister her or your kids. And it emasculates the man mentally, emotionally, psychologically, economically. And for you women to take this stand and say, we understand what's going on, but it don't make no difference. Let's do what we can to change, to shake the trees and get rid of some of this jiggy boogie. You know what I mean? And this jiggy boogie's been hurting us. I said, you keep smiling, Kiana. You must like that word jiggy boogie. Good morning, Kiana.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. You want to give us a little background of who you are, Kiana, and how you got involved with Life After Release? How much time did you do?
I did 2.5 years, and I'm a state of Maryland prisoner. I'm formerly incarcerated, so I have not done federal time. The feds didn't want my case. They told me they didn't want me. And so I didn't go to federal prison. But I'm formerly incarcerated, did 2.5 years. I am the founder and executive director of Life After Release, and I'm also a co-conductor at Harriet's Wildest Dreams. So,
oh, beautiful.
Yes. I this is how I show up in this space. Yes.
And we got our co-host, Nikichi. She just came back from, tell us where you was and what you did, because you're all over the place, Nikichi.
I was in Geneva, Switzerland at the third session of the Permanent Forum on People of African Descent, dealing with issues of reparations. And reparations is very all-encompassing, and it deals with mass incarceration and issues dealing with the criminal punishment system. So we're right on track here with Free Her.
Okay, beautiful. All right, LaShawna Thompson, she was with us recently. Good morning, LaShawna.
Good morning, Mr. Brown. Good morning, family.
Good morning, and thank you. And you want to give our audience who's not familiar with you a little brief bio of who you are and where you've been and what you're doing?
Sure. My name is LaShawna Thompson Neal. I am the executive director of the Wire Women Involved in Reentry Efforts, and we are a D.C.-based organization that supports incarcerated women, formerly incarcerated women, children with incarcerated mothers, and we do a lot of work with girls who are at risk of incarceration. And we've been operating for about 10, 11 years now, since I was released from incarceration after serving 18 years in the federal system.
Wow, wow. And after you served 18, you came out. What happened? Did you go to school? Did you get married? What happened?
Yes, sir. So I came home. I was in a transitional house for 2 years because it was difficult to find affordable housing. I completed my bachelor's degree at Trinity Washington University, and I also got married. I've done a lot of work in reentry, gun violence intervention, and restorative justice in D.C.
Okay, okay. All righty. Now we got all the parties at the table, because we're talking about President Biden declared April as National Second Chance Month. But we need the first chance, and the second and the third. We got Black women, mothers, wives, grandmothers. I read an article where it was a grandmother, the granddaughter, and the great-granddaughter was all in the same institution, and all three were serving life for drugs, didn't kill nobody. And this thing of this locking up our women and throwing them away, and this it hurts. So this is National Second Chance Month. We wanted to make sure that we cover this national, international conference for incarcerated and former incarcerated women and girls. Last week, 2 weeks ago, we had another national conference called the National Conference on Returning Citizens. So returning citizens are making a mark, a movement, and all over the country, people are organizing, mobilizing. One out of every three people in America, Black, have somebody or someone they know that's locked up or been locked up. 7 out of every 10 Black males have an arrest record or been stopped by the police. So criminal justice is a part of our community. And for our women to be ignored, disregarded, and mistreated like this, and we are the men, and we haven't said nothing, done nothing, and proposed nothing. So this show give us an opportunity to bring the issues to the forefront of what's happening to our ladies. Kiana, why are you involved with the National Council for Incarcerated and Former Incarcerated Women's Free Her rally and campaign? Why are you there?
I am there because when I came home, that was the organization that I really folded into, that welcomed me. Andrea James was very welcoming and supportive of me, making sure that I got what I needed, because there wasn't many organizations that actually focused in on women locally. And so when I was able to meet her, I think LaShonya and a few other people had introduced me to Andrea James. Mr. Charles Thornton introduced me to her. And it's just been something that I've been a part of ever since. And even though I haven't served federal time, what I do understand is that my federal sisters are important, and understanding that bringing them home is something that I wanted to be a part of and lend my voice to.
Okay, you know, one of the things that Andrea mentioned, and we mentioned this before, there's 18 women out of Washington, D.C. who are serving life without parole. And it hurts. And the rally that's being planned for the 24th this Wednesday is focusing attention on these cases. But we're asking for pardons and commendations, not only from the president, but from every governor in every state. You know what really gets me? They know this jiggy boogie ain't right. They know it ain't fair. They know that we need like a more black and brown people than anybody else. And we got to beg and kiss their butt to say, let my mama home. We want our mothers, women, and daughters out of them prisons. So this rally, Thursday, tomorrow, in fact, from 12 to 4 at Freedom Plaza. People, you need to come down. Everybody that's listening, got a friend, girlfriend, or family member, somebody that's incarcerated. We need your presence in the place to let folks know that this is a serious, serious issue. We are the only men I know of in the world, black men, that allow this to happen to our women, and we don't take a stand. The man is supposed to defend, protect, and provide for his family. We're not able to protect, defend, or support our families. Now we can't even get our wives and women, our families, out of institutions. So this is an important, very important rally for women all over the country. And we got somebody who's been flying all over the country. She just got back from Switzerland. Sweden or Switzerland, Nikichi?
Geneva, Switzerland.
Geneva.
But did the United Nations there, yeah.
Did you meet Geneva? Was she there?
Most not. <That's> so crazy. It's the headquarters of the of United Nations over there in Europe.
And what happened from that, Nikichi? What was the result of that conference you just attended?
Well, it's still resulting. It is a forum for people of African descent all over the globe to come together, and I strategize on issues to uplift us as a Pan-African global diaspora community. So there were loads of folk there. I'm going to be focusing it on my radio show later on today, giving some tidbits from it. So it was really good. But what I want to say, Roach, is that we're talking about the 10th anniversary of the Free Her rally. I was at the first Free Her rally 10 years ago.
Wow.
That was held right here in Washington, D.C. on the mall. And it is just amazing how far not just the organization, the National Council for Incarcerated and Formerly Incarcerated Women and Girls, has come, but how far the whole issue of incarcerated women has come, precisely because of the efforts of these sisters that are on the line right now, Kiana Johnson and definitely LaShonya Thompson. Now, in fact, I think LaShonya was there 10 years ago, because I think that was around the time when I first met her. And so, I'm going to kick it to LaShonya right now, because I know she has been a veteran.
Yes, she has.
Movement. And I was just proud to be a part of it 10 years ago, and proud to still be around to be a part of it tomorrow.
Come on, LaShonya, share it with us. I mean, because this is a dynamic lady all over the place. I mean, it is really an honor to not only to do this show, but to meet so many effective, positive, motivated, committed people who are working, not because they want the money, they're working because it's in their heart. Good morning, LaShonya Thompson, and thank you for joining us again, young lady.
Good morning again, family. And Nikichi, I was there, and I just want to thank you and honor you for all your support over the years. It don't even seem like it's been 10 years, because we've been so busy. But I remember I emceed at that rally, and I just remember that I felt like that was when we sort of got re-energized to start to really advocate even more. because we realized what we could really do. And I don't want to speak for Andrea, but I think that was like a moment where we was like, you know, we got next level, this thing where we really realized that it could grow into something amazing, and it has. And I'm so proud of the network that she has built all over the nation to bring women together. And Roach, you hit it on the head. You know, the bottom line is we do this because we're in pain, because we're suffering, and we're hurting for the women that we left behind, because we know what it's like, because we had to be there too. We had to be separated from our families. We had to literally grow up in prison. You know, we had to suffer a lot of mental health issues as a result of those circumstances, being in isolation, just not being properly cared for, you know, mentally and physically and things of that nature. So we are literally hurting as a people, because we want all of our women to be home. We want them to be reunited with their families, because we understand that they can contribute to their communities. They can help us to uplift this nation. Nobody is coming to save us. You know, the work that needs around reparations is so important. And like, we want to be a part of this work. We want to be a part of this great nation. We can't do that when we're behind bars, locked in a cage. So that's why we do the work that we do. That's why I thank God for the women that come home with fresh energy, that keep us motivated and won't let us give up. People like Danielle Metz and Jonisha Knight, who came home, who's joined The Wire, because it is very exhausting to have to keep saying the same thing over and over again and asking this country why. Why y'all don't want our people to be free? Why do y'all are y'all so insistent on oppressing our people? So, yes, it is a very big job, Roach, and we are in pain. Yeah. But we love our elders, and y'all keep us motivated, and we're not going to give up.
I'm not an elder. I'm a youngster, you know.
We following y'all lead, though, for real. I love y'all so much.
Go ahead, Tiana. Why are you with this? Why are you involved with the Free Her rally and campaign this Wednesday, the 24th? What made you get involved?
I remember, and I just want to, you know, let LaShawn, I don't think we understand our impact as we are having that impact. And so when I came home, I've only been home since 2017. So I'm going into like my seventh year of being home. So I haven't been home that long. So I was not here for the very first rally, but you could better be sure I'm going to be here for every subsequent rally in March after that. Right. But I know who was there when I got home. LaShawn and The Wire was there when I got home. And I was so drawn into that space, that outside of the National Council, that was like the only other space that I could kind of like wrap into. And so I'll never forget the impact that The Wire had on me coming home. And so just being, you know, a part of this and understanding that there's also women serving life on the state level. And so there's the part in it, like you said, the governors across this country also have a responsibility to be able to, on the state level, is where I come in to advocate for our state women. Like, we just brought home Miss Pretty, right? We brought home, there's some women that I did time with that were lifers that had been in there since they were 16 on the state level that are now coming home. Miss Gwen Levi, you know, there's a lot of women that have come home on the state level that I represent and fold them into the council to be able to do that, right? So that's where I fit in. That's my role, is that, you know, I advocate for the women mostly that are lifers on the state level, and being able to have them go to their governors to be able to get that same kind of pardon or clemency on the state level that the women are asking for on the federal level.
You know, there's 18 women from Washington, D.C. serving life. And we wanted to highlight one or two of them, because this is a crisis. I had life at 20 years old, and I know what that does emotionally, mentally, and psychologically. You are dead. You are a walking dead person when you live with no hope. When you take all hope from somebody, and especially your mother, and this Mother's Day is coming up next month, and we all have a mother. And how can you be this mean or this rotten to a mama? And when you see the situation, we had Andrew on last week, we was talking about in some prisons, and you're dealing with the state issue, some institutions, if a woman have a baby and if she don't have anybody to get the baby or take custody in 6 to 18 months or something like that, she lose all parental rights to her kid for the rest of her life. You broke a law and committing a crime because of economics or finances or lack thereof. But yet now you're going to lose your freedom and lose your baby at the same time, and nobody's listening. We got to do something. So what would you ladies say to folk who are listening to get involved? What would you tell them the reason or why they should be involved in this particular issue about freeing our women from this correctional system. Go ahead, LaShawna. Don't all just jump in at one time. You know what I mean?
I want to people to recognize that when we're talking about women, and probably men as well, we're talking about the trauma, the prison pipeline. So many of the women who are incarcerated have experienced severe, chronic, complex trauma as a result of communities that they grew up in and systems that have impacted them. So now they're in prison, serving life sentences, maybe for substance abuse issues or other mental health challenges that they have had, or behavior challenges that they have had as a result of that trauma. So that's why we call it the trauma to prison pipeline. That when women are incarcerated, mothers are in prison because most of the time they are the primary caregivers of their children. So the family is disrupted, and then children are dealing with an adverse childhood experience, and then the trauma is just recycling itself. And so, and then we talk, when we think about the impact of incarceration, the generational poverty and the generational trauma, we want to interrupt those cycles. We want to disrupt those cycles because incarceration does not fix social problems.
It does not fix
mental health issues. It does not fix substance abuse issues. This is not the environment for that. It actually makes those problems worse.
Yes. You want to share some of that, Kiana?
I was just going to say, LaShawna is absolutely right. All of those issues exacerbate the problem. They don't fix the problem, you know, and the sooner this country realizes that, the sooner we can get about some real change. I know that there are buses coming from all over the country. Women and their families are coming from all over the country tomorrow to the Free Her rally. And I don't know how much, Kiana, you're on top of. I think you are, about some of the places where some of these buses, busloads of sisters coming with their signs and with their T-shirts. And
their kids. And they come in with their kids.
And with their children. Exactly. Yeah.
We got 30-something women coming from New Orleans, Operation Restoration, Sarita, and Montreal on deck.
All right now.
We have New York coming in. We have folks coming in from Atlanta, Georgia. Bridget Simpson from the Bar Business, who's coming in. We have all of our sisters that are coming and touching down from all across this country. It's nothing that's going to keep us from being a part of this national march, because let's be very clear. We have a lot of national marches here in D.C. And as a D.C. native, someone born in D.C. and being in D.C. each and every day, what we know is that everybody comes here, and we have not had a march like this historically. Right. We marching for men, Million Men March. We marching for mothers. We marching for all different types of reasons. But Women's March, all these different marches come into this city time and time again, but it's time for us to recognize and to support the Free Her March that is going to be on Washington, you know, year after year now.
Yeah. And actually, I would just want to say, because we have all these people coming from all over, but you say you're a native Washingtonian, I'm a nation Washingtonian, LaShawn, you probably are, Mertine, you are, Vote, you are. DC needs to come out. Needs to come out, needs to meet at Metropolitan Church down at 15th and M at 11 o'clock and join the march to Freedom Plaza, where there's going to be phenomenal speakers and presentations and all of that. So DC needs to come out to this march and rally as well.
You know, this affects everybody. A woman is a woman in the community. A mama is a mama to all the kids. And when our mothers go to prison, we got to be concerned whether it's our mother or not, but they're mothers, they're black mothers. And we got to fight, support, holler, scream, cry, and do whatever we got to do. What is it that we're asking for a pardon? I just read the thing that under the Obama administration, Joe Biden versus Vice President Obama, Obama issued 1,715 clemencies. And President Biden has granted a mere 13 clemencies. And during his campaign, Biden pledged to end mass incarceration crisis and promised to lead with a commitment to racial justice. We haven't seen nothing from President Biden about pardons or clemencies, even though folks may disagree or whatever. And with the orange man, the bottom line is he pardoned so many people. He wasn't afraid to. But President Biden, please, please, please. We got women. One of the ladies who's not from Washington, whose case we've been pushing Michelle West. She's been in over 30 years. You mentioned Gwen Levi. She did 16 to 17. When I meet these ladies who done decades, and back in my day, they didn't lock up women this right way. They didn't lock them up 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years and throw away the key. And to see this kind of treatment being given to our mothers, the holders of our generation and the keeper of our families, and we're not saying nothing and we're not doing nothing.
This is one of the reasons why this march is happening, specifically to call upon President Biden to grant clemency, to fulfill those campaign promises that were out there, to listen to the advocates who have been consistently saying that our people must be let go, must be let free. So this is one of the main tenets of the Free Her rally, to make it known. Unquestionably, okay.
You know,
that we must free her.
Yeah. We're going to take a break and turn it to Mike the engineer, and he can play a little bit of a song that fits this topic that we're discussing this morning. All right, Mike, you got it.
You taught me everything, everything you've given me. I always keep it inside. You're the driving force in my life. Isn't anything or anyone that I could be, and it just wouldn't feel right if I didn't have you by my side. Oh, you were there for me to love and care for me when skies were gray. Whenever I was down, you were always there to comfort me. No one else can be what you have been to me. You will always be. You will always be the girl in my life for all time.
Mama. That was Boys to Men. You're listening to WPFW 89.3 FM. You're on your station for Jazz and Justice. The song was Mama by Boys to Men, and we wanted to play that because we're talking about mamas. I've lost my mother, Mertina. We both lost our mothers, and mothers are particularly special. And when you see mothers locked up and out, these horror stories about how women are being handcuffed or chained to the bed, they have babies, they don't have money for hygiene products, etc. And they're treated worse than men when they come out. The reentry process or services that are provided for women when they are released are practically non-existent. And this thing tomorrow, there is a meet and greet tomorrow evening. This is a fantastic.
No, that's tonight. That's tonight.
Oh.
Tonight at Sycamore Oak. Tonight at 6.
Tonight. See that? If I didn't have y'all to keep me straight, I wouldn't know what to do. Keep me straight, y'all, with this jiggy boogie keep coming at me from all sides. So that's tonight. This is a fantastic opportunity to connect, share experiences, and build lasting connections with fellow Free Her advocates. The date is April 23rd from 6 to 10. The location is 1110 Oak Drive in Southeast. That's over on the grounds of St. Elizabeth's Hospital, the new entertainment complex they got over there. So from 6 to 10, this event promises to be an empowering and uplifting experience filled with inspiring conversations and connections that resonate with the mission of Free Her. Please come out if you can make the march throughout tomorrow. Please come out to the meet and greet tonight at St. Elizabeth Campus at 1110 Oak Drive over in Southeast. We need you there. This is one of the, you said y'all had, it was 10 years. The rally gets bigger and bigger every year. We got people coming in from the Caribbean, from the Virgin Islands, St. Thomas, St. Croix, people coming in from Canada. You got women coming in from all over the country and out of the country. So this tells you that this is something that is on a lot of people's heart, that we have to do something to make this. One of the things that really tear me up is the young girls who are being locked up at 13, 14. And when I mentioned at the top of the show about the deputy mayor, Ms. Lindsay Appiah, saying she's okay if they lock up black boys. How can a black woman say that? Lady, I don't know who you are or where you're from, but you must not be from D.C. Because as I guess I've been saying on this show, there are other reasons why these kids are being locked up. And they're talking about locking these kids up for truancy. If you take something away, put something in its place. There is no comfort sentence. If you move the kids from this corner or you lock them up, if they don't want to be locked up, where did they go? You got kids talking about this truancy. They got men, kids in homes afraid to go to school. It ain't not going to school, because a lot of them, because they don't want to, they are afraid. They got to walk through violence. They got to walk through shootings and killings. And the mother is not home. The dad is not home. And you're going to talk about locking these kids? Give them, if you're going to take something, put something in its place. Give wraparound services. They need jobs. They need psychological mental health counseling. They need support in the system. Not just punish. Why is it every time something happens, we got to lock our people up? There's other ways of solving the problem or dealing with the issue than punishing somebody and throwing away the key. And for D.C., our youth stay locked up longer than any other youth in the country. Mm-hmm. And when they come out, they go in and they're teenagers and they come out as senior citizens. I don't want to see no more senior citizens coming out as. So again,
first, we got a caller on the line.
Well, we'll take the first caller. Question or comment, please. Hello.
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 Hi, Roach. Am I the first caller?
You most certainly, and the count is clear, so come on with it.
Okay, this is Gwen Levi. Hello, ladies. I'm so glad
to
hear
you all.
Hey, Gwen Levi.
Yes, you know I wasn't going to miss this opportunity to say thank you to each one of these ladies, Roach. Each one of them has played a pivotal part in my homecoming and my staying home. I love these ladies. The work that they do cannot be measured. It cannot be quantitative. Listen, these ladies, this rally is one rally. Let me tell you something. They did a rally for me when they sent me back in. Well, they came to Washington, D.C. and rallied in front of the Justice Department, not for this Free Her rally, for a Free Gwen Levi rally. I cannot say enough about the work that these ladies do. We got a bus coming from Baltimore coming to see you all tomorrow. I'm letting everybody know we leave at 9 o'clock.
How much time did you serve, Gwen, and how long you been home?
I've been home 3 years. Thank goodness I'm home, because I wouldn't have been home if it hadn't been for the Council of Formerly Incarcerated Women and Girls. I would, Kiana now, Monica, who's not on there, who should be on there, all these people who did such great work, and you all come out and meet these ladies. These ladies are the awesome ladies of the United States. They go all over the world advocating for us. While I was inside, I heard so much about them. And when I came home and got in trouble again, they lobbied and got me back out. I cannot ever, ever, ever say enough about the work that they do. And I cannot ever, ever stop joining them in the work that they do. So, yes, thank we got a bus you. Coming from Baltimore to y'all. And I'll see y'all this she evening anyway.
Thank you.
Please,
thank you.
If you live in Washington, D.C. or Baltimore, get up and come out this evening and meet and greet these ladies. Let them know that you appreciate the work that they're doing for your loved ones. Everybody got somebody who's been in this system.
Question.
Come out.
We love you, Gwen.
Thank
love
you.
You
thank
bye.
You. Gwen, how old were you when you went in and how old were you when you came out?
Oh, I was old when I went in and I was old when I came out.
Oh, cut it out. Cut it out.
I stayed in the game too long. Yeah, I was in the game too long, but I was 75. I'll put it this way. I was 75 when I came out, and I got in. I went in 2004. So,
wow.
All right.
And you got any kids, Gwen? Your kids?
We don't want to talk about my kids. I got four boys. One of my daughter died while I was inside, but I got four boys. They're all out here doing good work. I have a grandson who just recently, pray for him, you all, everybody pray for him. He recently, he's in Washington Hospital Center. He was involved in a mass shooting in Capitol Heights last Sunday.
Wow.
And he's in Washington Hospital Center right now. So pray for him. His name is Leland. We love you, Leland, and we're praying for you, and we're praying for the kids who did this also.
Okay. Thank you for calling in, Gwen. We saw her last week, Nikichi, at the National Returning Citizens Conference over in Arlington, Virginia.
Right.
Every week there's something, and we see her, see folks who are on the front line. It warms your heart when you go to these conferences and you see people who are there, not because they want the money or the fame. They're there because they're committed. And when you go into a room with a bunch of committed people, it's a different vibe there. Ain't nobody trying to outdo nobody. Everybody's trying to see what we can do to bring other folks home and to stop this jiggy boogie. So this is a thank you, Gwen, for calling in. And LaShawna, I remember when you came home, you came to me looking for a job. We didn't have a job. That's like 10 years ago, and I wanted to hire you, but we weren't able to. And I know you was a little mad. Roche wouldn't give me no job. I didn't have no jobs. But we got to be buddies and friends since then, lady, and I respect the hell out of you. You and all these ladies. I mean,
well, if she had gotten a job working for you, Ro, she might not have been able to have gotten the jobs over there by the city council and doing all the great policy work she was doing. So maybe it's a good thing. I mean, you know, she can come on the radio anytime. But the work, the phenomenal work that LaShawna did, you know, as her, you know, working, you know, with the council members and all like that, it's just been pivotal. Yeah.
You know, one of the things that people always ask is, why do women go to jail? And our young black women are leading the fastest growing prison population of black women, black young girls. And it's starting at 12 and 13 years old. And these kids are path of going to prison. Kiana and LaShawna, what would you say to young girls who are listening to this show? If we might be heading down the same path, who don't even know the road they're traveling and where would it end? What would you say to them young ladies and young girls who are listening to what you were saying this morning?
I would say slow down, you know, find a positive support system, a positive mentor, and get involved in some positive social activities because the fact is, like, the trauma is real. You know, all of the social factors are what they are, you know, and it's just an environment that's right for the sort of things that we're seeing. I'm so sorry to hear about Miss Levi's grandsons when I heard about that incident with them young people that touched me. And I never would have knew that it was her grandson was one of the victims in that shooting if she didn't just say it. But like, they're set up for failure from the start. So in order to be able to build resilience to the trauma and build the necessary emotional intelligence skills and really understand these systems that are trying to trap you, you have to have a strong support system. You have to have a safe space where you can go to. And those things are out there. Like, there's a lot of young women out here mentoring girls and trying to help them meet their needs. The other thing I would say, Roach, you talked about it earlier. This issue, when you talk about DC, incarcerated DC women, touches on everything that we care about, from, you know, regaining local control of DC parole to expanding the second look. Hundreds of men have been released as a result of the IRA, Incarceration Reduction Amendment Act. Hundreds. Not a single woman has been released under IRA. Not because they not because they don't qualify, because you have to have an attorney, right, to work on your behalf, to get you back in front of the judge. No women who went to prison as young adults were able to get that. There's one woman who came home. She was eligible. She went to prison when she was 20 years old. She did 21 years. She came home on compassionate release. Janisha Knight, my friend, I just talked about, she did 17 years. She went in when she was 24. She came home. After she came home, the judge saw her on a second look and let her off of home confinement. But she got released because she completed her time. No woman, no DC woman has been released on the second look, the IRA Act, and it is not because they are not eligible. It's because they are not being supported, because they don't have the legal representation that they need. They don't have a community or other people out here. Roach, when women get incarcerated, they don't get visits from men. They don't get visits from husbands. Right. They don't have a support system like a lot of the men have.
I know.
Our grandmothers coming to see us. We have our mothers coming to see us and bringing our kids, but not our husbands and not our brothers.
But LaShawna, I did not know that there were no women being released under IRA. We need to do a specific show on that. We need to mobilize the legal community. Yeah. I mean, I had no idea, because, you know, we're very close to some of the brothers that have been released, but I didn't know that there were women.
To be fair, it's just because it's more men in prison, more men impacted, so it's easier for them to bring attention to their situation. And I'm not making excuses, but I'm just saying, we can easily forget about the women if we're not intentional, you know, and if we're not mindful. It's not on purpose. The other thing is with the parole piece, Nikishi, we desperately want local control of DC parole. This will help elders, it will help women. And one of those women on the list, Rosalind Bowman, has been going to the parole board year after year after year. getting significant hits because the nature of her crime, which is not going to change.
Right.
And she don't have a lot of the support either that a lot of the men tend to get. And I think it's great that we support men. So I'm not saying it should be either or.
Right, no, I hear you.
No, both. Yeah. You know, one of the things that one of the most depressing times I've had is I went to women prisons on visiting day. And there's two women in the visiting room. Two. There are no men, as you just said. Women don't get visits. On Mother's Day, you would expect that prisons all over the country will be crowded on Mother's Day. But they aren't. And women don't get visits, like you say, in the support mechanism that the men get. And when I saw these women sitting there, and then you're talking about changing the parole policy. We're talking about the gate money. Women do 20, 30, 40 years, and you get $50. That's some jiggy-buggy. We got to have a grant where women can get two. A couple of states have already started this, that if you do X number of time, you can get $1,500 to $2,000 for the first year that you're out monthly. You need some kind of support to help you to exist. Mm-hmm. So parole, commutations, work release, getting these kind of grants, because I'm thinking that all the money they make from telephones, they make $2.3 billion all over the country from prison telephone calls in jails. And all that money, a commission, they call it a kickback, goes back to the prison. And they fund the guards' softball team, the guards' drum and bugle corps by the young guards' kids. And that money should be used to increase the gate money, which is they call the gratuitous fund. That money should be released, should be used to give those men and women who coming out a meaningful chance. You got $1,000 or $1,500 when you come out every month for the first year. You got a chance to make some money. You come out with $30 and you did 30 years. There's nothing you can do but to go back to what you did before you got into this foolishness in the first place. So I wanted to throw that out there. And the U.S. Parole Commission, that's jiggy boogie too. The U.S. Parole Commission can only handle the 1987. Anybody sentenced after 1987 is not eligible for parole. That's when the parole board, the mandatory minimums, come down. So the parole board is using what little time they got left for those men and women who got sentenced under the old law. Those are the ones who are eligible for parole, and because of that, you got men and women like with a couple guys, we all know, died last year, came out, did 50 years. LaVance Green did 50, came out and died in 6 months. And every time he went up to the parole board, they gave him a 5-year hit, a 10-year hit, a 5-year hit. And that's because they keep the United States Federal Parole Commission in existence. There are less than 500 people in the federal prison system who are eligible for parole, less than 500 out of 100,000. So the parole commission is still there, but what are they doing? And they just giving out what we call them hits, 5 and 10 year set-offs, and you did 30 and 40 years. That's breaking somebody's back. They break your back when you go to the parole board. The parole board, you feel more pain from the parole board than you did from the sentencing judge, because you did 30 and think you got a shot, and you don't have a shot. You don't have a shot, I don't care how much time that you have. So these kind of issues are close to our heart. If anybody else want to call in, the number is 202-588-0893. We got a couple more minutes left. What happened to Kiana? Is she gone?
Yeah, she had to leave. But let me just raise something else. I mean, when you talked about Geneva and the convening that was at, there were a number of young folk who were there who were talking about issues like the prison system and mass incarceration and things along those lines. So these issues are not just confined within the domestic borders of the United States, but we are really letting the world community know the issues that are here, that are going on here. So I just wanted to bring that up as well.
Well, we mentioned that at the top, Nikichi, that UNO in Sweden, and we get phone calls, emails, et cetera, from all over the world. And it's amazing that people all over the world are fighting the same issue, are concerned about the criminal justice system and how Black and brown people are being treated in America and how we're being treated all around the world. So we're catching hell, not only from here, but we're catching it from everywhere. And I'm glad to see that you was in Sweden and you got people.
Switzerland.
Well, I don't know the difference between Sweden and Switzerland. One is fast and one is slow. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's all good.
We want to encourage anyone to come out tonight. Come to the Free Her Meet and Greet event tonight over at Sycamore. That's on the old St. Elizabeth Brown's too many of our listening audience are just not aware of what is actually going on.
You're breaking up, Martine. You're breaking up.
Okay.
You're going in and out, Martine. I've never been to Oak and Sycamore, so I'm looking forward to
it. Well, it's beautiful. They renovated it. It looks like something out of Georgetown up on Wisconsin Avenue, the way they remodeled and fixed it up. So it's a good venue, and I'm glad that the Free Her March and Rally will have a meet and greet tonight over on the grounds of St. Elizabeth's, because we need you there. And tomorrow, the rally, it starts at 11 o'clock at Metropolitan AME Church on 15th and M Street Northwest. And we're going to march from there, Metropolitan, down to Freedom Plaza at 14th and Pennsylvania Avenue. Please come out. Please wear your bright colors. And please let everybody know that we're here to bring our mothers, women, and daughters home. We want our mothers, women, and daughters and wives home from this, from the belly of the beast. And, you know, so you got a chance to do something. Don't sit on your butt and say, I liked it and I heard about it. Do something, people. And that's part of the thing. Too many people listen and don't do nothing. So we got to talk, stop this, what we call in the kitchen, this jiggy boogie. This jiggy boogie. And I'm going to say it again. That young lady, the deputy mayor, Lindsay Apile, I don't know how a black woman could be in Washington, D.C. and realize if you go down to Superior Court, everybody, only people in there, the defendants are black and brown. I went to the juvenile facility, New Beginnings. 23 people down there, all of them black. And she talking about she don't care if we allowed to lock up some more kids. Lady, where are you from? I don't understand how you can say that. And that is what I call the supreme juggy boogie. We talking about Jim Crow laws, and then we got somebody who's enforcing it and promoting it to lock up our kids. Give them some alternatives. Give them a safe house. Give them some place to go. Don't just put a drug thing up and say it's a drug-free zone. You can't hang. Open up the churches, open up the schools, make sure we got a place, an alternative. A lot of these kids, they're talking about locking up because we have a 40% truancy rate. A lot of them are afraid to come out their house because of the bullies, because of the gangs and the shootings and the killings. The kids, the unemployment, the homeless problem for teenagers, nobody knows the exact number. You got hundreds of kids sleeping on the street, in the parks, in cars, and on the bridges. And why are you going to worry about going to school? You're trying to find a place to sleep and eat. Deal with the other problems that lead to this truancy problem so we can effectively manage our situation here. But don't just punish it. Huh? We got one caller. We got one caller. Come on, you got it. You're on air.
Yes, hello. Good morning. Thank you. This is Ms. Cassandra. And all you all do, we need to rise up with Maren Barry and do a pride and break out on them about our young. They can't even get jobs because the Spanish is in there, the grand great grandmamas and daddies and everything. And I say we need to boycott these stores, these restaurants, McDonald's, all of them, Popeyes, all of them that won't hire our black youth. And that's why they're out of money. They can't get no jobs after school or nothing. So they're doing with the best thing they can do. And another thing, Mr. Teacher, I need you to go down there to that Silver Spring Mall and do something about them young black girls in camouflage suits. They can recruit them and whatnot, but they can lock up our other women to go to war. When we got all these other nations in here, why don't y'all start recruiting them and start with Kamala Harris people, them Indian people. That's right. We got a lieutenant governor. Put their women up there and young girls. All on the campus of Maryland University and everything now. Recruiting black girls to go to war for them Ukraine and all these people that don't even like black people and push them black women and children up there on their pole. Let's just do this. Okay. We need to rise up mind, body, and take hands in our own matter.
Thank you. Thank you. Our time is up. LaShawn, you want to get some closing remarks before we go, you and your teaching, before we got a couple minutes?
No, I would just say that anybody that don't have a problem with saying kids in cages, I would not just say that, are you not from D.C., but like, are you not from Earth? Are you from the planet Mars? Are you like, because this is just an inhumane, unnatural situation. And anybody that says that they're okay with the plight of our people in 2024, in my opinion, got some serious issues. I don't care who you are.
Thank you. Nakichi?
Yeah, I just want to say, for those who want to find out more information about the National Council for Incarcerated and Formerly Incarcerated Women and Girls, you can go to their website, www.thecouncil.us, thecouncil.us.
And thank you. We want to see y'all down there. And you see
Freedom.
Huh?
Freedom Plaza tomorrow at 11.
And you said it, to see kids in cages. I like that phrase.
Meeting at Metropolitan Church, I think. Am I correct? Right at 11?
Yes, at 11 o'clock.
And we walk into Freedom Plaza. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. So, and we're coming down in, and tonight we have that meet and greet over in, on the grounds of St. Elizabeth's Hospital. But folks, yes, please show out. Please turn out. If you don't turn out, they think that we don't have an issue. Your mother, sister, wife, girl, somebody you know is in prison. And what they've been doing to men, now it's coming to the surface of what's been happening to the women. And the women have been twice as the dog, treated twice as worse. So please, we need your help. This is our folk. You don't have to know nobody that's inside of prison. You know the hurt. And it's painful for a mother to be separated from a kid, huh?
All right.
All right. I want to thank LaShawna Thompson Hill and Kiana Johnson. She's the founder of Life After Release, and LaShawna's Women's Involved in Reentry, the Why. And of course, at the top of the show was Andrea James.
Is Roach on mute?
Huh?
I am mute.
Okay. I want to thank you, everybody, and listen to this song because it's about mama. We want our mama's home. Thank you, and we'll see you next week. Remember, your inner voice is never wrong. And cut the jiggy boogie out!
Yeah.
You gave me strength to go on.
There were so many times looking back when I was so afraid. And then you come to me and say to me, I could face anything.
The best in live music entertainment is coming this spring to Bethesda Theater. Let's welcome music royalty, The Whisperers, performing all their classic songs for two big shows on Friday, April 26th at 8:30 p.m. and again on Saturday, April 27th at 8 p.m. Also coming is Trouble Funk, featuring go-go legend Big Tony, celebrating his birthday by performing all their go-go classics on Friday, May 3rd at 9 p.m. And on Mother's Day, it's Howard Hewitt performing his own popular songs and those by Shalimar for two shows on Sunday, May 12th at 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. The Whisperers on April 26th and 27th, Trouble Funk featuring Big Tony on May 3rd, and Howard Hewitt on Mother's Day, May 12th. Get more information on all shows at BethesdaTheater.com. WPFW is a proud media partner with Bethesda Theater.
WPFW is looking for a new place to hang our hats and microphones. And we're betting that members of WPFW's In the Know listening community, folks like you, may know of spaces where we might make our new home. Have you walked past or know of a cool space that appears to be for lease? Hip us to it. Know of something that's not yet on the market? We're all ears. Your station for jazz and justice requires 2,200 square feet of space in Washington, D.C. or immediate environs. Metro accessible with nearby parking. We value your suggestions and observations as we embark on this vital mission. Email your tips to wpfw.lsb.relocation@gmail.com. And thanks for all you do to nourish and sustain WPFW, building a better world one broadcast
so
at a time.
Nice to come home to. You'd be so nice. Bye.
Taking Action offers listeners current information about protecting our schools and communities by interviewing leaders in public housing development and educators. We share strategies to stand up for social justice, providing a voice for the homeless and those fighting against gentrification in our city, in addition to building our power as a community by supporting local businesses and holding government officials accountable for their actions. Taking Action is produced by Empower DC. Listen every Tuesday on 89.3 FM at 1 p.m. Also available on iTunes Podcast and Google Play Music. On your station for jazz and justice, WPFW, Washington.
If you remember Freestyle Union from back in the 90s in D.C., or if you ever heard jazz legend Steve Coleman playing with a virtuoso rapper, or if you've just been keeping up with what's going on in the DMV right now, then you know the artist that is Kokai. one of DC's most original talents, an author, improviser, storyteller, and 2023 Guggenheim Fellow, Kokai comes to Songbird Music House on April 28th for a special concert with his live band, presented by Capital Bop. That's Sunday, April 28th, at Songbird in Northeast DC. Also on the bill is Baltimore's Conjure Collective, a new group you won't want to miss. Info at capitalbop.com. That's CAPITALBOP.com.
The talk show Africa Now airs Wednesdays at 1 p.m. It's a modern view on historical issues concerning the entire African world, addressing how African people are participating in globalization, ways in which the rest of the world continues to exploit African resources, uncovering labor violations by corrupt politicians.